Equity, you've got to get it right from the start. It has to be tight, it has to be accurate. And so our startup stack would not be complete without having Carter as part of it. I'd like to welcome Francesca Puccinelli to the series. I got to know her just prior to the lockdown. She may have been one of the last professional meetings that I took in their office as she demoed the software to me and some of the new features that were just coming out. So I'm very excited to dig deeper. It's been about a year. Please welcome Francesca. Okay, welcome everybody to this week's podcast. We are very excited to have our special guest this week, Francesca, who works with Carter. And just to give a very brief bio about Francesca, she has been with Carter since their Series B. So she has seen some significant growth with the company, and she's very passionate about helping companies scale and working cross-functionally to build products and companies and industries. She works with primarily VCs, tech companies, startups, law firms throughout the Bay Area and the greater Pacific Northwest. So maybe we can just kick it off by Francesca. Maybe you can just tell us a little bit about yourself and your motivation for being at Carter and really what makes you come alive working for the company.
Absolutely. Yeah. So as James said, I've been with Carter since our Series B. So it's been a really fun ride to see the company grow and scale. And I think what I have in common with a lot of founders is prior to coming to Carter, I had no idea what the startup world looked like. I had no idea what equity really was. And jumping into Carter, I began to understand this whole concept and really grasp what it means to have ownership within a company. And so that has been a really fun journey for me. And at its core, for folks that don't know, Carter is a cap table management software, but we're doing a whole lot of things beyond just that. But I would say that's kind of our flagship product that we have in the market today. And additionally to that, we have a ton of tools that help companies think about compliance, as well as tools to help investors, as well as other folks within this industry, help folks manage their cap table, as well as, you know, accept their certificates within their portfolio. So we're kind of running the gamut of all of the different nodes within the startup's ecosystem, which is fun to see.
So cap tables and equity is really important for the work that I do. And I've come across, I don't know, several issues or problems that have been challenges that I think Carter resolves, mm-hmm. but maybe you can talk into those a little bit as well. And I'll just kick it off with the first one, kind of a softball question. You know, it's just kind of Carter X has just kind of come out, you know, with some really good news. But this, you know, I remember talking to Carter, this is more than a year ago about this, and it's all around the issue, especially here in the Bay Area, of employees having a ton of stock options mm-hmm. and just kind of being stuck with them. And then, you know, because real estate is so expensive in San Francisco and in the surrounding areas, they are not actually, they don't have enough cash to buy a place, but they have a family. And so they've, you know, so the CEOs of these, you know, sometimes very, very big companies are not able to kind of fulfill the dreams of their employees. Right. And so the employees then, you know, have to say, well, should I move on from the company or you know, what's going to happen? And so they, you know, I remember doing some significant searches as to figure mm-hmm. out how do I resolve this problem? But I think Carter is resolving it. So maybe you can talk into what that is.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a really interesting problem that we've seen come up, especially now since companies are staying private so much longer. So I'm sure a lot of the folks who are listening saw the news about Airbnb, where they had these employees that had RSUs that were expiring. And so these employees, you know, of course, they don't want to lose out on, and RSUs definitely look into it. It's a type of equity that is granted to employees at late stage, typically late stage companies. But the founders were faced with a choice like, hey, you know, we have to go public in order to resolve these liquidity issues for our employees. So definitely something that we're seeing a lot more of recently, that since companies are staying private longer, it's really hard to justify these employees staying a long period of time with their companies. So that's one issue. I think the second issue, and another benefit for companies themselves, and I'll flip to the employee side a little bit later, but another sort of challenge for companies themselves is they want to be able to maintain their status as a private company, because that allows them to have a lot more control of what happens. So as they're growing and scaling, you know, we always see these big IPOs, but maybe it is beneficial for a company to stay private a little bit longer to really handpick who they want to be on their cap table. So those are kind of the two issues from the company side. On the employee side, we're seeing a ton of this activity with secondary trading. And sometimes that happens not necessarily with the company's buy-in. So that's another huge challenge that we're seeing. And there's this thing called right of first refusal that comes up oftentimes, which takes a lot of time from the company's lawyer. You as an employee might also have to hire a lawyer to kind of help you navigate that. So that's another huge challenge if companies are trying to think about liquidity outside of a company sanctioned aspect. So come, you know, a few years ago, and there's other platforms that do this as well, but come a few years ago, we started to see a huge rise in tender offer activity. So that's something for these employees at typically a late stage private company. That's a way for them to get liquidity. So Carta had been doing tender offers, but again, super costly for a company to do a tender offer, and it requires a really huge lift, even from the legal side, to make it happen. Usually they were after a primary financing. So a really arduous process from you're raising funds and now you have this tender offer. So CartaX came to the market. We had our first transaction actually closed in January, and or I guess early February. And it really flipped the existing model on its head. And what is really cool about Carta is this is something that our founder had envisioned when he built the company. So with CartaX, companies are now able to start to think about how they can offer programmatic liquidity to employees. So now if you're an employee at a late stage private company, the demand is there from the investor side. These investors want to get into these companies. If you're an employee at a late stage private company, now you have the ability to, if your company says, hey, I'm going to join Carta X, and they're going to schedule these regular liquidity programs, now you have the ability to plan for things like buying a house. You have the ability to have these opportunities to diversify your portfolio and not just have all of your cash sitting within your exercise option. So super exciting that we have this available now, and definitely am excited to see where it goes. But I think with the rise of CartaX or other programmatic liquidity events for companies, we're going to see that extension of a private company last even longer. But I think companies are going to get a lot more strategic and offer a lot more benefits to their employees, in the sense that folks will be able to not have to wait for an IPO to get some of their funds out and be able to do things like buy a house or put money away for their kids for college. So super excited about that.
I think this is a real game changer all around. So that's very, very exciting. You know, when I work with startups, sometimes it's at the earliest stages. You know, anytime, you know, you raise money, you want to make sure that the equity cap table is in order. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes, you know, the founders are not, you know, haven't done it, or they use an Excel spreadsheet, which happens more often than not.
Right.
What is typically the best time to start paying for, you know, a software like Carta? And then once you have it, how does it, you know, for the first 12 months, how does it help the company grow with regards to the need for, you know, 409A valuations? And maybe you can explain what that is as well. How it helps with the fundraising, and then also how it lowers the costs if you need an audit, or how it lowers the cost if you need, you know, the all the fundraising docs as well when you start working with corporate attorneys. So it's not just, you don't think of it as always a cost, but an investment that's going to save a lot of money in the future.
Totally. Yeah. So ideally, you know, as soon as folks incorporate their companies, I think in a perfect world, that's when a company would get on Carta. So today we actually have a free program for companies that have raised less than a million and have under 25 stakeholders on their cap table. And so that's, it doesn't include a 409A, but basically that's a way to eliminate the barrier to entry to cap table software. So that way your cap table never has to hit an Excel spreadsheet. That way your cap table will always be sort of recorded in the cloud, so you can see where things are tracked, as well as thinking about it as you grow as a company. Let's say that you have an employee that wanted to transfer shares into a trust or something like that. That can all happen on Carta, where you don't have to spend time doing this, you know, paper pushing outside of Carta. So that saves a ton of time there. In terms of when a company sort of graduates from the launch plan, usually that will happen around the time, as you mentioned, James, when they need a 409A. And so what a 409A is it's a valuation of your company. And for companies within the US, they're mandated by the IRS to get a 409A every 12 months to help them value their common shares as well as for their option grants. So that's mandated by the IRS. Companies will also need to get a 409A anytime there's a material event. So that might be a financing. In certain cases, that might be a material event like COVID, which for a lot of companies, that was a material event. But what Carta does and how Carta was built is, since we have that cap table information, we utilize software to help our valuation analysts to pump out that valuation faster. So basically bundling that service with software to make our team more efficient, as well as get you the results a lot quicker than they were in previous iterations of this 409A. So that's kind of the way that it works for a more advanced companies. And another thing that I think wasn't always apparent to us and is sort of a happy byproduct of the way that Carta was built is, before Carta came into play, you know, these cap tables were really stagnant. And if you look at the public markets, people have, you know, their portfolio with E-Trade or Vanguard, whatever. But in the private markets, you were holding these equity awards in your file cabinet. So I think a happy byproduct of what Carta created is now these employees have a place to log in to see their holdings within the company. And something that we've really focused on within the past couple years is that we've really tried to hone in on making the employee experience a really straightforward one, because equity ownership, as I said at the beginning of this podcast, equity ownership is not something that you learn in school. Usually I was an econ major that we talk so much about the public markets and rarely about the private markets. So it's a really, really hard concept to understand, especially if you're recruiting people from traditional tech companies or big tech companies that are currently public. So it's a really hard concept to understand. But at the same time, if you do have people that understand equity, they recognize that as a recruiting tool, because if you have ownership in the company, you inherently want to increase the value of that option grant in the case that you're granted equity. So if you understand what that means, then you know that becomes a really helpful tool for the company to recruit and retain. So with that, we've added in a ton more educational elements to the employee side of the portfolio. So for an employee that signs into Cardiff today, they can take an Equity 101 course, they can read some blog posts, they can watch a webinar, they can look to see what the tax implications would be for an option that they exercise, as well as, of course, the simple stuff, viewing their existing holdings. If they need to talk to their accountant, they can add their accountant to their account. We also help with several tax documents. So at the end of the year, you'll usually have to file a Form 3921 if you've exercised within the previous calendar year. Carta helps with all of that. So that's kind of the employee perspective. And then moving back into the company perspective, we also help companies undergoing audit with something called expense accounting, or ASC 718. So with that, again, it's looking at the stock comp expensing, and we're looking at, and I'm not an accountant, so I don't know the ins and outs of this completely, but it's looking at the different option expensing and looking at sort of what's happening, what's the value of that option as it's going through its lifetime. That's definitely an oversimplification, but generally speaking, that's what it does. So we help with tools like that, since the cap table is, you know, again, already within Carta. We pull that data in and help companies with that, as well as being able to push those reports out to their auditors as well.
I know from, you know, working as a CFO for different companies, these are all, you know, big issues that Carta has resolved. And, you know, that's why you're on the podcast, because, you know, you're one of the, you know, if a company works with Carta, they are, you know, ahead of the game already. So, you know, one thing that I like to do, you know, when if you're a CEO of a smaller company, or maybe you're the CFO and you say, okay, you know, I want to start, you know, this equity management. One of the things that I always do is, you know, I always go onto Google and I compare vendors, you know, whether it's for payroll or for accounting software or something. You know, if I were to do, you know, Carta versus some competitor, what makes Carta stand out, or why would, you know, if I do that, why would I say I need to work with you and not with these others? What's the fit there?
Yeah, it's interesting. I of course, you know, hear a lot about our CEO Henry Ward talk about kind of Carta in general, and really the genesis of the idea behind Carta is, hey, you know, Carta is actually a network company. So you look at these other companies, and not even in our space, but you look at these big companies, Google's a network company, Facebook's a network company, Carta is a network company. And many of our predecessors, they were a stagnant, you know, online, in the cloud type of cap table management. When Carta came in, we said, hey, we're gonna completely change this model, and we're going to connect the different nodes of the startup ecosystem. So I think one really important thing to remember about Carta is your cap table is live, meaning that you're sending things out to your investors. Your investors are getting their fund administration done by Carta. Your investors are having their portfolio insights managed by Carta. So we really connected early on with a lot of the investors at first in Silicon Valley, now all over the world, where these investors, to them, you know, it's really helpful to have their whole portfolio on Carta. So I think there's that aspect of having the network, but using the product to increase the value of the network has been a really big game changer. I also think that Carta really listens to our customers. So in the almost 4 years that I've been with Carta, I've had so many customer calls and really have learned to understand the needs of our customers. And our product team is on feedback calls with all of those folks, and hearing what they'd like to see and understanding their pain points, I think has been really huge for us and in our product development. I think that has been really great. And then we also have a really huge customer service team. So oftentimes, as we've talked about before, equity management can get really, really difficult to do. So our team is there to help people navigate that. And I think that has been just a huge asset to us, and understanding the nuances of the complexities of equity. Our team has done a really great job of doing that. So I think we'll definitely continue on understanding the needs of the customers, as well as helping our customers get value out of the network that Carta has. I think that will be a continued push for us as we grow over the next, you know, hopefully many, many years. And of course, that whole network aspect is a really big catalyst for some things like Carta X. Without the network that we've built, Carta X wouldn't exist. So I would say there's a lot of little bits and pieces that have helped Carta build on top of each other, and we're still building. So always having that agility, it is another huge benefit too.
Yeah. So what's next? What's after Carta X?
That's a good question. I think definitely focusing in on Carta X will be probably for at least the next 3 to 5 years. That will be a really big impact to our business. A little bit different than the tech focus that we have is we're also thinking about how we can help PE firms. So that's sort of that next network that we want to hone in on, just because oftentimes these PE firms have relatively similar problems to VC folks, but usually it's the analysts within the PE firms that are managing cap tables, which is a really difficult task to do. So that will be another really big focus of ours. And really just honing in on our employee experience too. I think that's something that we've just scratched the surface on, and how we can build products to help these employees of startups and really add value there. I think that will be a really great investment that we've started to move towards, that we will continue to move towards.
Okay. Yeah. I have one more question. We're coming up to the end of our time. This morning I was talking to a startup studio owner. So it's kind of a new big trend to have all these startup studios. And, you know, he was saying that, you know, the cap tables, the equity is still kind of in flux and what does this look like? And, you know, it'd be great to have something that they could use. And they didn't feel like it was out there yet. Is this similar to, you know, PE firms when you think about it, or is this, you know, another module that Kant would have to create if the market is big enough?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I'm assuming that maybe in the startup studio model, it's more thinking high level, like, hey, I own X percent of the business versus like an actual share number. Is that what the model kind of looks like?
Yeah, it can be, yeah, probably larger percentages, you know, right from the start, and it would be common and preference and, you know, mm-hmm. different types of shares and, look just a little bit different.
Yeah. Yeah, I think definitely that is pretty close to what we're seeing with the PE market. And I think the way that the PE structure is super specific, but super specific to the actual PE firm. So we wanted to make a product more so thinking about where we're going with PE that is really flexible, so that you can think about it in many different ways, and the way that it's structured. And a lot of the companies will have like a holding company and then a subsidiary and kind of a really interesting structure. So we've had to think really creatively about how we're going to build that out. So definitely I could see in the startup studio model that translating really well into, without knowing kind of the specifics, of course, but I could see that translating really well into what we're thinking about for PE. But I, you know, as I said, Carta's always iterating. So if folks have ideas about where you think we should go, we're definitely all ears, and you can always reach out to our team, and we're always open for a conversation.
Okay, excellent. Any final words?
No, I think this has been awesome to speak with you, James. And if folks have questions, James, you can link my contact information, but always happy to work with founders. And we're working with founders from, you know, right at their formation to their IPO and even through their IPO. So always happy to help.
Okay, excellent. Well, it was a pleasure having you on, and you know, I'll be talking to you in the near future anyway. Yeah. And, you know, if anybody wants to reach out, there will be the info in the show notes. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much, James. Have a good one.
Thanks, you too. Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.